أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Verse number 12 كذبت قبلهم قوم نوح وعاد وفرعون ذو الأوتاد وثمود وقوم لوط وأصحاب الأيكة أولئك الأحزاب. Before them Noah's people impugned their apostles, and so did the people of Ad and Pharaoh, the impaler of his victims, and Thamud and the people of Lot and the inhabitants of Aika. Those were the factions. We discussed these two verses last week. The only thing left was to discuss a little bit about Ad and Thamud and also Ashabul Aika. There are four Arab prophets mentioned in the Quran. Among the 26 or 27 prophets which are named in the Quran, only four of them are Arabs. And these four Arab prophets, one is the prophet of Ad, Hud, and then Saleh, the prophet of Thamud, and Shu'aib, the prophet to Madian, and Muhammad, peace be on him, peace be on them all, who were Arab prophets. All others are Israelite prophets, prophets from Banu Israel. Not all of them, just a couple of them might not be from Banu Israel. It's somehow disputed, but mostly the prophets mentioned in the Quran, apart from these four, are the prophets of Banu Israel. Now, apparently, in the Arabian Peninsula, the most famous prophets, and which came to the most formidable civilizations, especially the two prophets to Ad and Thamud, are mentioned as an example for the Arabs at the time of the Prophet, who knew well about these two civilizations, and apparently the sites of their cities where they lived were still extant at that time, and people, when they traveled to these areas, they could see, especially the pillars of the Ad, which they had built a very, very huge city, Aram. And in Surah Fajr, their city is described as the city of the pillars. Aram, alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi'ad, irama dhatil imad. Did you not see what your Lord did to Ad, the city with pillars? Allati lam yukhlaq mithluha fil bilad. The one whose like was not built in any city before that. So it should have been something very huge, and the remnants of it should have been there when the Arabs traveled to that part of the peninsula, to Yemen, to the southern area where Ad lived. Now, what we know about Ad, of course, both Ad and Thamud are prehistoric civilizations. We don't have mention of them in our history books. They go back long, long time ago. The Quran mentions that the first big civilization formed after Noah, after the Noah's deluge, was Ad. And then after that, another big civilization which was formed was the civilization of Thamud. Now, for all these, we have verses mentioned in the Quran. Just through the Quran, we see what information we could get about Ad and Thamud. First of all, they are pre-Ismailite Arabs, because the Arabs are divided into mainly two sections. People of Arab literature want to divide the history of Arabs, they say Al-Arabul Araba, the very, very pure Arabs, who were, of course, before Ismail, migrating to Mecca, of course, his father bringing him there and leaving him there. Then he started his own generation. And since he married an Arab tribe, Jurhum, who came to live in Mecca with him, his children, of course, were Arabs as well. They lived in Arab area. They spoke Arabic. However, their language was a bit different than the pure Arabs who were living there before. And therefore, the children of Ismail are not called pure Arabs. They were not pure Arabs, as our prophet was not that pure Arab which Ad and Thamud were called to be pure Arabs. So Ad and Thamud were called Al-Arabul Aribah, those Arabs who were living before Ismail. And after Ismail, the children of Ismail, who were of course of mixed race, of Israelite and Arab race, they were called Al-Arabul Muta'arribah or Al-Arabul Musta'arribah. The Arabs who actually adapted to be Arabs. They gained Arabhood from the tribe of Jurhum, and their father was not Arab, of course. And it's a dispute whether the Quran is in the language of Al-Arabul Araba or Al-Arabul Musta'arriba. Some say it's in pure Arabic, Al-Arabul Araba. Some say no, it's in the Arabic of the Jurhum and the following tribes where Ismail was living. We don't want to enter into those disputes. Just these Ad and Thamud were of pure Arabic nature. And it is therefore significant that they are mentioned as pure Arabic civilizations. Now, any civilization mentioned outside Arabic Peninsula, there should have been some outstanding feature of it, so that Quran mentions it as an example for Arabs. Like, for example, Pharaoh. Yeah, there is an outstanding feature in his civilization, in himself, and therefore Quran mentions it as an example. Shu'aib, of course, was living in Madian, which was, of course, in Arabic Peninsula. Therefore, he's mentioned there. And, of course, because of the relationship that he had with Musa. Musa, because, of course, Quran regards himself to be the continuation of that revelation. Anything related to Musa, anything related to Isa, peace be on him, is mentioned. And other civilizations mentioned in the Quran, there should be a type of significance for them. Now, Ad and Thamud were very, very significant, as I said, because they were very developed civilizations, the like of which was never created in Arabic Peninsula and before them and after them. Even after Ad and Thamud, we didn't have any significant civilization in Arabic Peninsula. Even after Islam, the civilization was built outside the Arabic Peninsula rather than inside it. Now, the Ad, they lived in Ahqaf, as we have in Surah Ahqaf. وَذْكُرْ أَخَا عَادٍ إِذْ أَنْذَرَ قَوْمَهُ بِالْأَحْقَافِ. Remember the brother of Ad, Hud, who warned his people in Ahqaf. And Ahqaf was a place between what is now called Oman and Yemen, Oman and Hadramaut, the southernmost part of Arabia. They had built their civilization there. And some people say that both Ad and Thamud were generations, descendants of Saba', who of course are very famous, and they are mentioned also in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لِسَبَعٍ فِي مَسْكَنِهِمْ آيَةٍ. And some of them migrated to Yemen, some of them migrated to Sham, and those who were in Yemen were Ad, those who were in Sham were Thamud. Now, so the first thing is that Ad were living in Ahqaf. The second thing is that they were the first civilization, the first significant civilization in the area after Nuh. Wadhkuru, as we have in the Quran, when Hud mentions the ni'mah of Allah to Ad, Wadhkuru idh ja'alakum khulafa'a min ba'di qawm Nuhin. Remember when Allah made you successors after the Nuh. So they should be very ancient. We don't know exactly what time Nuh was living, of course we should not rely very much on the biblical history in terms of dates, because that history is very much confused. If we want the real time of Nuh, it's very difficult to find out, and therefore the real time of Ad. Also, they were a people of great power in their physical structure, and their body was somehow significantly more powerful than others, as it's mentioned again. وَذْكُرُوا إِذْ جَعَلَكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ مِنْ بَعْدِ قَوْمِ نُوحٍ وَزَادَكُمْ فِي الْخَلْقِ بَسْطَةً. And God has given you great, great, vast power in your bodies. And that's why they became so powerful that no one could actually beat them. And they became the most powerful nation in the area, and they could very easily defeat everyone. And they were saying, وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً. Who is more powerful than us? No one could defeat them. And then the Quran says, of course, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. Did they not see that God who created them was more powerful than them? Also, they are very tall people. We don't know how tall. Of course, we shouldn't go into the mythical type of descriptions given for them, but they were naturally tall, much taller than we are. The Quran describes them when they were destroyed as the uprooted palm trees. They were just scattered around as uprooted palm trees. So palm tree, we might say that, of course, this is again an exaggeration. I don't know how tall a palm tree might be, say about 10 meters, but this is mentioned as an exaggeration as well, as to denote that they were very tall, and despite that, we killed them, and they were scattered all around. So, in two surahs, the expression is mentioned. One is in Surah Qamar, تَنْزَعُ النَّاسِ كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ مُنْغَعِرٍ. We send them a very blustery wind, which was taking these people around, and they were scattered around like chunks of uprooted palm tree. And in Surah Haqqa we have that كذب ثمود وعاد بالقارعة فأما ثمود فأهلكوا بالطاغية وأما عاد فأهلكوا بريح صرصر عاتية. A very blustery, violent wind which blew upon them for 7 days, and it killed everyone. بريح صرصر آتية سخرها عليهم سبع ليال وثمانية أيام حسوما, meaning it uprooted them completely. فترى الناس فيها صرعا كأنهم أعجاز نخل خاوية. They were like hollow trunks of palms scattered around. So it denotes the tallness of their bodies. And of course the civilization they built, the houses they built, the palaces they built, were proportionately huge things for other people when they went and visited it. So as I mentioned this verse in Surah Ad, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَاد إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْإِمَادِ. The city of the pillars everywhere. أَلَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. Something the like of which was not created, was not made in the world. فِي الْبِلَادِ means in any city of the world. Before that, there was nothing like that. And in the Arabic Peninsula, especially after that, there was nothing like that. Also, they used, apparently what we understand, in their cities, they used to build huge, very tall pillars upon which they used to put statues, like these Roman type of pillars that sometimes we see the remnants of them. We see, and also nowadays in some cities, in some squares, roundabouts, we used to put such pillars as signs and for example, a memorial type of pillar or something like that. They were used to this, and they were very well known for it. And when Hud comes and speaks to them, one of the things that he mentions, apparently when they went and captured the city, conquered a place, they used to make one of these memorial places. Or on other very high lands, they used to put these statues. So it says in Surah Shu'ara, أَتَبْنُونَ بِكُلِّ رِيْءٍ, on every place of prominence and height, you build a sign. Just for futile reasons, أَتَبْنُونَ بِكُلِّ رِيْءٍ آيَةً تَعْبَثُونَ وَتَتَّخِذُونَ مَصَانِعَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَخْلُدُونَ, and you set up structures as if you are going to live forever. Very, very strong structures, palaces they built. And of course Allah says, just look what happened to them. This is an example brought for the people in Arabia, because they had trade routes going to Yemen every year. As you know, the Arabs had two trade routes, one to Yemen and one to Syria, to Sham. And their businessmen, their trade caravans, they traveled in the summer to Sham and in the winter to Yemen, because in the winter Sham was pretty cold and Yemen had good weather. So they had these two trade routes, and they could very well know whatever was on the way, whatever was in Yemen, whatever was in Sham, as is mentioned in Surah Ilaf, لإلاف قريش إلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف. We have made this house safe for people of Mecca, so that they could safely have these two trade travels, one in winter and one in summer. فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ, they have to appreciate and worship the Lord of this house. So when they went through their business travels, they certainly visited the remnants of the people of Ad in Yemen and of the people of Thamud in Sham. And still there is a type of stony city in Sham near Damascus, not very close but near Damascus, which I have not visited. Some of my friends have visited that place, which is Hijr, actually the place where Thamud were living, and where every house and everything is somehow carved from stone. And this is what the Thamud used to do, and therefore their civilization was there still when the caravans from Mecca was going and visiting Sham for their trade routes. So this is Ad. And then after they were destroyed by that very killing wind, which Allah mentions in the Quran very much, that blew upon them for 7 days, 7 nights and 8 days, 7 layalin wa thamaniyat ayyam, then another civilization of this Arabul Araba was formed. Now, this time in the north of Arabic Peninsula, in Wadi al-Qura, which is between in the route up to the north from Medina, not reaching, of course, Damascus, not reaching Sham. And the place where they lived was called Hijr, as it is mentioned in the Quran, and the Surah Hijr, the name for Surah Hijr. وَلَقَدْ كَذَّبَ أَصْحَابُ الْحِجْرِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And it's maybe called Hijr because they carved everything out of stone. Even they built palaces inside the mountains, just by carving the mountain and making huge things inside the mountains, something that could last forever, actually, had they not been destroyed, something that could last forever. Now, these were, of course, after Ad, as Quran mentions, وَذْكُرُوا إِذْ جَعَلَكُمْ, their Prophet Saleh, who was a very, very clever person, someone who was hoped to become the leader of the king of Thamud. As is mentioned in the Quran as well, that when he came out with his message of prophethood, قَالُوا يَا صَالِحُ قَدْ كُنْتَ فِينَا مَرْجُوًا قَبْلَ هَذَا. We had lots of hopes on you before this. We wanted to make you our king, our leader. Now you have come with this message. And of course they rejected him. So Salih was one of the cleverest people among these Samudi people, and of course there was a tribal type of system there, as Quran again mentions, وَكَانَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ تِسْعَةُ رَحْتٍ. First of all, they had Medina, they were not villagers, they were not Bedouins, they had big city. As I said, this was great civilization in the northern part of Arabia. And Quran mentions, وَكَانَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ تِسْعَةُ رَحْتٍ يُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا يُسْلِحُونَ. All of them mischievous tribes. There was not even one tribe, one generation, one line of genealogy among these people who were righteous. And these people actually conspired to kill the Naga of Salih. They were in the mountains, as I said, they were carving houses and palaces. And it was not only that. In the plain land, they had huge technology of architecture, and they were building huge palaces. As again it is mentioned in Surah A'raf, when Salih speaks to them, تَتَّخِذُونَ وَذْكُرُوا إِذْ جَعَلَكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ مِنْ بَعْدِ عَادٍ تتخذون من سهولها قصورا. You make palaces in plain lands. وتنحتون من الجبال بيوتا. And carve houses for yourself in the mountains. So these were the two type of architecture that they had. And of course they were not as powerful as Ad. However, they were the most well-known civilization after Ad. Now, the example of these two are mentioned because, as I said, they are the most significant civilizations that the Arabs of the peninsula at the time of the Prophet had known and could see. وَعَادًا وَثَمُودَ وَقَدْ تَبَيَّنَ لَكُمْ مِنْ مَسَاكِنِهِمْ وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَصَدَّهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ وَكَانُوا مُسْتَبْصِرِينَ. The Ad and Thamud, you have seen clearly their places, their cities, of course the remnant of their cities, because the palaces they built, the pillars they had set up, was still extant at that time. So they could see, and Ashabul Ayka are the people of Shu'aib. Now, some people say that Shu'aib was sent to two people. Once he was sent to Madian, and the other time he was sent to Ayka. And these were two different cities. Now, which one was first, it's not known, whether he went to Ayka first, and then after they denied, they were destroyed, and then he went to Madian, or he went to Madian first, and after they were destroyed, he went to Ayka. But apparently they are the same and one people and city. And because it was a type of foresty, full of trees and reeds, a type of thicket place, it was called Ayka. Or maybe the area was so vast, and a group of people who was living near Madian in Ayka, they were the most outstanding deniers of Shu'aib, and therefore they are singled out and mentioned as Ashabul Ayka, denying Shu'aib. Of course, they were not a very significant civilization. Not as Ad and Thamud, certainly. And as I said, they are mentioned in the Quran because of probably Shu'aib. And also because of the type of unjust society that they had, and the type of preachings that Shu'aib gives them makes it clear that they had a very unjust economy. They had a very huge class divide. And the distance between the poor and rich was very high, and they were actually deepening this by the type of economy that they had. And of course, at the end, they were destroyed as well. So, in the Ahzab mentioned in this Surah Sa'd, كَذَّبَتْ قَبْلَهُمْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ وَعَادٌ. So Nuh, of course, is mentioned because their story was most well known among all nations, not only among Arabs. Of course, Nuh was not from Arabs, but the story was well known. وَعَادٌ وَفِرْعَوْنُ ذُو الْأَوْتَادِ. And the description given for Fir'aun ذُو الْأَوْتَادِ, the Pharaoh of pyramids, again gives the impression that he is mentioned because of the fame that he had for his great civilization. وَثَمُودُ وَقَوْمُ لُوتٍ. Now, قَوْمُ لُوتٍ, people of Sadum, they were, Sadum was a city again close to Syria, Damascus. However, they were not people of well-known civilization. They are mentioned here because of their evil nature and character. قوم لوط. As you know, Lut was a nephew of Ibrahim. And actually, Ibrahim sent him to Sadum to preach there. And maybe he was the poorest among all the prophets going to such an evil city, really. And whatever he said, no one ever listened to him. The civilization of that time was significant in the sense that they were somehow mavericks. They were seeing themselves as a civilization that could violate every known sunnah and tradition of human civilization. And this is why they are mentioned very much in the Quran. As it is said, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ, the Lut was telling them, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. You are committing a fahisha, an indecent sin that no one before you have ever committed in the world. And apparently they were the first people who had this type of mischief. And it shows that they were somehow people who was looking at their culture, at their civilization, at themselves in a very modernistic way, saying that all these issues of morality and all these issues of sunnah of the past, they are just myths, they could be violated. And the type of people, the character, you can just imagine what type of character those people had, and probably laughing at everyone talking about morality, talking about God. And that's why I say, Lut, I always feel very empathically for Lut, actually trapped in that type of evil society, really, really evil society. And of course, Ashabul Ayka, أولئك الأحزاب, these are the factions. And these people who come and oppose you, fight against you, talk against you, like Abu Jahl and Abu Sufyan and others, they are just the most miserable faction among these factions. They are not at all comparable with something like Ad and Samud, something like Fir'aun. These were just Ahzab factions. We just destroyed them. Now, what are these people telling to you? What are these people up to? These are just Jundum Ma Hunalik, just a very small faction. As I said, Ma added in these cases to a noun, just wants to humiliate. These are just very ignorable factions among these all other factions that we destroyed before them. جُنْدٌ مَا هُنَالِكَ مَحَزُومٌ مِنَ الْأَحْزَابِ. They are destroyed already, they are defeated. And this happened, of course, at the Battle of Badr. إِنْ كُلٌّ إِلَّا كَذَّبَ الرُّسُلَ فَحَقَّ إِقَابٌ. Each of them, of course, denied the apostles. And so my retribution became due against him. فَحَقَّ عِقَابٌ means my retribution was realized. Something, a rule, a law that I have set forth before, I have established that anyone opposing a prophet, any nation, should be destroyed. And they were destroyed. This rule was realized. in relation to them. And then, if this is the case for them, the verse number 15, وَمَا يَنْظُرُ هَؤُلَاءِ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً مَا لَهَا مِنْ فَوَاقٍ. And these people, they do not await but a single cry, صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً, which will not grant any respite. Fawaq is a very short while of time. They say fawaq is the time where you just milk a camel or a goat. And it says even that respite is not given when that sayha comes. These people are awaiting that. Now, in a sense, it is saying that we are not going to destroy these people like the people of Ad and Thamud. Their destruction will be when that sayha, when the blowing of the trumpet comes. And in another way, say that these people are going to be destroyed soon, not as, of course, Ad and Thamud were destroyed, but these heads of shirk which come to you and criticize you, they are going to be killed soon, defeated soon in Badr. But the community, the society which is denying you, they are going to be destroyed by Sayhatan Wahida. Meaning that this ummah, your ummah, is a bit different from other ummahs. And that is, they are not going to be uprooted as other nations were uprooted. Even though they are rejecting you, they are denying you. And this is a fact mentioned in other places of the Quran. So the Exodus says that عقوبة أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وآله بعذاب الاستئصال مؤخرة إلى يوم القيامة. The uprooting punishment of the people of the people of this ummah, who are part of this ummah but they deny, it is delayed until the day of judgment. And of course, in Surah Qamar, this is mentioned again. When the uprooting of all other nations is mentioned, then it says, أَكُفَّارُكُمْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أُولَٰئِكُمْ. Are you kuffar better than those kuffar? أَمْ لَكُمْ بَرَاءَةٌ فِي الزُّبُورِ. Or they have a type of immunity written for them in books. Or they have a written immunity with them that God is not going to punish them. However, yes, I'm not going to punish them because I have set for them a time. بَلِ السَّاعَةُ مَوْعِدُهُمْ. The appointed time for these people is سَاعَةُ, is that سَيْحَ coming, the قِيَامَة, day of judgment. وَالسَّاعَةُ أَدْحَى وَأَمَرْ. It is the calamity there is more, and it is more bitter when it comes for them. So here it says, وَمَا يَنْظُرُ هؤلاء إلا صيحة واحدة ما لها من فواق. These people do not await but a single cry which will not grant any respite. Now, to just annoy the Prophet, just to somehow come with an argument against him which would, in their opinion, completely devastate the Prophet, they said, وَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا. When Prophet spoke about the Lord, that you should believe in him, you should only worship him, and otherwise a punishment will come to you, they say, oh Lord of Muhammad, whom he is speaking about you, bring us the punishment. Why don't you bring us the punishment? And you see how devastating this would be in the face of the Prophet. I mean, when they throw it at the face of the Prophet. He talked about the Lord and worshipping that Lord. And they said, oh, the Lord whom Muhammad speaks about, bring us the punishment. We are waiting for it. Why don't you give us the punishment? وَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا عَجَّلْ لَنَا قِطَّنَا قَبْلَ يَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ. Now, when the Prophet said, when this verse, of course, this fact was revealing once after the other that your punishment will come on the day of judgment, they said, no, why on the day of judgment? We are prepared for it now. Why it doesn't come to us now? وَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا عَجِّلْ لَنَا قِطَّنَا قَبْلَ يَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ. They say, our Lord, hasten on for us our share before the day of reckoning. Why you are just keeping it for then. Why not now? We are prepared for it. And apparently this annoyed Prophet very much. I mean, this type of argument, this type of mocking and deriding with the whole issue. And therefore, there is a consolement, there is advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isbir ala ma yaqulun. Have patience over what they say. Do not worry, do not think that you are defeated by their arguments. Isbir ala ma yaqulun. Wadhkur abdana Dawood, Zal'aydi, innahu awwab. And remember our servant David, the man of strength. Indeed, he was a patient soul. Or he was oft returning to us. Now, awwab here in this Quran is translated as penitent. Yeah, I was wondering why it's patient. It was a penitent soul, which was oft returning to us. Now, for the purpose of just consoling the Prophet's heart, nine examples are mentioned here of nine prophets, one after the other, and the hardship that they went through and the type of attitude that they had, starting with Dawood alayhi salam, that inshallah we mention his story next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Yes, brothers and sisters, anybody with a question? Sister? No brother? Me? Sheikh, these names, Ad and Thamud, are they how were they coined? Are they some names of some personalities or what?
Yeah, apparently they were names of their forefathers who actually were the heads of the tribes which formed these people. Especially Ad is very well known personality among Al-Arab al-Araba, who was the forefather of Ad. Thamud, I'm not sure whether it's name of a person or it's name of a place or something, but usually these names were related to different figures who were actually the originator of these people.
Assalamu
alaikum.
The Qawm al-Aad that you mentioned, they built a city, لَمْ يَخْلَقُ فِي الْبِلَادِ. So the meaning of Bilad, which means whole world, for all the time, isn't that correct?
Bilad means cities, and when, of course, we put it together, it would become as, when cities are mentioned as the totality of cities, it means world. الَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. Like of it was not built in the world. But for all times, I don't think we can deduce that for all times from the ayah.
They found a frozen man in a mountain of Italy. That means a few years ago. The scientist working on the hammer he had in his hand. Mm-hmm. And also this body is for 5,000 years ago. They can't make a hammer like it. Which means, clarify that at the moment our technology has improved. So in other words, Thamud and Ad, what Allah hasn't given to them, is not going to give to any other nation.
Maybe in some aspects, but certainly nowadays civilizations have things which, of course, was not conceivable at all, and the power that civilizations have, especially to destroy each other, is far, far more greater than the power that people at that time had. The weaponry that we use nowadays is much more devastating than the weaponry in those days. It is possible that they had some aspects of technology that we don't have today, or we do not have developed it again. We do not have gone down into that avenues of technology. But certainly, I don't think we can say their power was greater than the power of some of the civilizations nowadays in the 20th and 21st century.
Why is it Allah saying that we haven't given it to anyone else?
No, التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد, like of it was not built in the world. Well, of course, at that time it was not built in the world. And especially in that area, it was not built even afterwards. But, well, we know that nowadays we have architecture, technology in parts of the world which are far more advanced than those technologies. So it doesn't mean that forever there is not going to be something like it. It means that there was not something like it before. And even until the time of the Arabs. Nowadays, of course, the technology is different.
Any other sister, brother? Yeah. Salam, sir.
Just a thought in this line of questions. We think that we have nuclear power and all this progress in science, but maybe the power of the mind in one of these Ad or Samud or these Qaum that have gone before was much more or maybe greater than what can be created or achieved now. Is it possible that they had, is there something, some mention towards this, that they had power of the mind and they could control people? Because that hasn't happened yet.
You mean type of black magic power?
No. The development of the mind in terms of people's reaction between people.
Controlling.
That's right, yes. Is there any evidence of that?
Yeah. It's very much like George Orwell's novels about the future, that's how people are controlled by.
That's exactly what I mean. Maybe it's already happened. Maybe the power was there and we haven't got hold of it yet.
Actually, there are theories written in many books, especially about Egyptians and the technology they had in mummifying the corpses, in building the pyramids. And even some have gone far as saying that there are people coming from the space and either teaching this technology to them, or actually the whole civilization was built by some alien type of people coming from the space and doing it. But these are just the speculations. I don't think we can really have a good proof for it. The thing which has led to these theories is the amazing technology of Egyptians at the time. In terms of science fiction, I don't know whether you have read the Sinohair books. I mean, the type of surgery that they had at the time, which is elaborately mentioned in that book. And also some surgical instruments, apparatus, which is found from the old Egyptian era, is amazing. I mean, they were doing skull operations. They were somehow doing some organ transplantation. They were very advanced in all these things. And pyramids, of course, they are now wondering how they could build it. And measurements in the pyramids, where they placed the bodies, the corpses, that apparently there was a specific place in the pyramid in terms of the height that they had to put these bodies there, which would keep the body fresh for several hundred years. Although they were mummified, but without putting it in that specific place, it wouldn't have lasted long. So these are the things which have led people to think that these civilizations were actually made by outsiders coming from space. However, they are, as you are saying, they are underestimating the power of mind of those people who went before. We usually try to say that we are the only intelligent people of the world. All people who went before us were just ignorant, nomadic people, which of course is not the case. They had great civilizations, yes.
Yeah. Do we have the details of the civilization of Qaum Thamud and Ad?
Not really. There There are some remnants, as I said, which are attributed to that time, especially in Sham, which is related to Thamud, but not very much details about their civilizations, no. Apart from what is mentioned in the Quran. As I said, they are prehistoric. When I say prehistoric, it means that they were living before the time when man started to write the history. And therefore, if they were living before that time, there are not any details about their civilizations in our history books.
So, Sheikh, these two tribes, Ad and Thamud, would they have had prophets before Saleh and Shoaib?
This is what the apparent understanding from the Quran would suggest, because about both of them we have كذبت عاد المرسلين. Ad denied the messengers. Now this might denote, it might signify that of course Mursaleen was sent to many people and one of them to Ad, and they denied that specific messenger sent to them. But more clearly, and if we want to be more literal, it means that many messengers went before Ad and before Hud and Saleh to these people, and كذبت ثمود المرسلين. However, there is one very, very clear, much more explicit verse about Ad, which mentions, yes, of course, there were many messengers before Hud going to Ad, and this is in Surah Ahqaf. وَذْكُرْ أَخَ عَادٍ, mentioned the brother of Ad, and brother of Ad means he was from the same people, from among themselves, not a messenger going from outside, of course. وَذْكُرْ أَخَ عَادٍ إِذْ أَنْذَرَ قَوْمَهُ بِالْأَحْقَافِ وَقَدْ خَلَتِ النُّذُرُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ. And messengers had gone before him, well, certainly to those people. And after him, of course, there were messengers as well, but not to those people, to other people. But this is more explicit, saying that there were other messengers, yes, going to those people.
Thank you. Assalamu
alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
With the time frame, was Surah Hud revealed at the time of Surah Sa'd? Because the explanations for each one of the prophets being a brother within them and what happened to them is in Surah Hud, like, does it fit in anywhere with this surah? I mean, time frame wise?
Both of them, I think, are Makki surahs. They were revealed in Mecca, but I don't know which one was revealed first. Surah Hud gives much more details, of course. Surah Hud speaks about these civilizations, what happened between them and the Prophet. Surah Sa'd, of course, does not go into that detail, just mentions them as an example for the mushrikun of the time of the Prophet, then goes to the example of prophets. The Surah Sa'd is valuable in terms of speaking about good people. In those surahs, these bad people are mentioned, what they did, what they said, what they replied to the prophets. Here, the intention is not going into those details about the people. Just the example of prophets are intended to be given in the surah. So I don't know which one really is revealed first. I don't remember now. There should be the chronology in books of exegesis.
Yeah, you want? Can you pass the mic back, please?
Bombarding you with a question. Following the sister's question, isn't that the surahs, the verses would revealed, and then Prophet Muhammad would say which surah you have to put that? Wasn't the case?
Yes, of course. I mean, this
so it wasn't the case of the surah would reveal it, just the verses will come. So we can't really say which one first, which one second.
Some of the surahs, yes. In case of some of the surahs, were revealed instantly, all at once. We have this in case of some of the surahs, and probably this Surah Sa'd was revealed all at once. Even some long surahs were revealed all at once. Only in Medina, usually, the surahs were revealed piecemeal, and Prophet said the verses were revealed piecemeal, and Prophet used to say, "Put this verse in that surah, in that place. But many of the surahs of the Quran were revealed at once. So we have both type of revelations. An instant revelation of a surah and a piecemeal revelation of the surah, which ayat was revealed and Prophet was told to his people to put it in different places. Yeah.
Any other question? Sheikh, going back to these historical sort of ruins, you mentioned Thamud, we have some ruins in Sham. What about Ad? All the ruins were completely destroyed, everything?
I haven't read in any books about remnants. There might be, I don't know, because usually you go to different places, you see some sort of devastated, you just see the broken pillars lay on the ground. As for example, we have in Baalbek in Lebanon, so for example, we have some sort of these remnants from Roman time. In Iran, we have from Sasanid time, for example, in Persepolis, in Shiraz. There might be some of these in Yemen or in Oman. I haven't read anything about it. Maybe people who have traveled there have seen some of it. I don't know.
Because if their houses were built from these mountainous places, then obviously they should be there somewhere.
Well, of course, you know, earthquakes, winds, cold and heat would destroy everything in this world. And Allah has made this world in a way that everything would renew itself all the time and nothing would remain. And it's amazing that how the pyramids have remained up till now. I mean, after 6,000-7,000 years. And they will be destroyed one day anyhow. How tactful we are in keeping them and preserving them, they will be destroyed. This is how the world is built.
Sheikh, any other question? No? Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad sallallahu. Now Sheikh, next weekend is the Easter sort of Sunday. Are you...
I think we give a break next week and inshallah we continue the following week.
Sorry, next... in.
2 weeks time,
inshallah. But our tafsir of Nahjul Balagha is still going to continue?
Nahjul Balagha, this Tuesday.
Tuesday, and then the following Tuesday as well? After Easter?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because on the
schedule,
it's scheduled like that, continues forward.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Yeah. Brothers, sisters, there is Maghribain Salah every day here. Sheikh Abu Mahdi actually leads this Salah. Inshallah.